All right, welcome back to Hino's Home Show. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. We got a great show for you this week. Joined as always by Encyclopedia Steve. How's it going, Steve?
Pretty good, Hino. Just another day in paradise.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are brought to you by the fine folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house, give them a shout at accuratemtg.com and they'll get you closed and back to life. So right now, you know, now's the busy season. A lot of people moving, buying houses, selling houses. And, you know, as a result of that, there's a lot of moving going on. So
Yes. We
thought we'd bring in a couple of experts to kind of help us manage our way through that whole thing. So we've got Billy Thornhill and Chris Jordan of Thornhill Moving Company. They actually have a few different businesses, Thornhill Furniture Outlet and Thornhill Real Estate too. But we're going to be talking about moving today just because, you know, well, that moves me. So that's what we're going to talk about, right? So they were established way back years ago. And Chris Jordan, he's the director of operations for Thornhill Moving and Storage. And Billy, of course, you're the owner of the company. So you guys, welcome to Hino's Home Show.
Thank you for having us.
So Billy, how did you get started in the moving business? How did that all happen?
Kind of by accident, to be honest with you. I was in the furniture business, taking it back before that, actually. I was in the real estate industry, and that came to a screeching halt at the end of 07.
Oh yeah, and we all know what happened back then.
So I had some buddies that were playing college football in Charleston, South Carolina, and you know, I had kind of grown up with them, and they told me I needed to check out this furniture thing they had going on, and it was basically helping a guy get rid of a bunch of stuff approach. We did guerrilla marketing. We started with like handwritten signs.
And you do that with kind of with air quotes, right? A guy trying to get rid of some stuff, right?
Exactly.
That was the marketing part of it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, you know, we started doing this and we grew the locations. We started with 500 square feet and a couple mattresses and grew it to about 30 locations in 12 states.
Wow. Okay. So the guerrilla marketing part of it, what was that exactly?
So like we would basically write like queen pillow top mattress, $150 on a road sign. And
like somebody, a handwritten sign?
Yeah.
Wow.
Handwritten sign. So, you know, it just kind of looked like a guy trying to get rid of some stuff.
Okay. So then people thought they were getting a great deal because they were just buying it off some guy off the side of the road.
Exactly.
And they'd set up a time to come out and check it out.
Yep. So I had a client call me off of an ad on Craigslist about 7 years ago here in Nashville. And they started a vacation rental company. I didn't really know what they were doing at the time, but we furnished their first four units here in Nashville and kind of asked some more questions about, you know, what they were planning to do. And they ended up growing to about 3,000 units around the country.
Wow.
And this is really like before Airbnb was the behemoth it is now. Like this was kind of the birth of that industry, right?
Yeah, exactly. He just kind of had the idea, and their niche was to take apartments and rent them and then furnish them, rent them out again for 30 days or less.
Yeah, yeah. So you just basically furnished all those things, and did you help people move in and out too?
Absolutely. So we made a great relationship with the building because of how seamless it was for them. Mm-hmm. The experience that they had for their residents that already lived there, they wanted them to have that same, you know, experience all the time. So
okay.
These developers and stuff have actually come to us to make us the preferred moving company for their residents.
Sweet.
And we didn't know that we were in the moving company, really, at that point. We were just delivering all the furniture.
Yeah, you know, it's
but
funny.
Now you do. Yeah,
yeah. You Correct. Know, there's a saying that sometimes the best leaders are the people who aren't seeking power. So maybe that's what makes you guys really good movers, is that you weren't trying to do this business, but everybody recognized how good you were at it.
Right. We just knew we had something that needed to get done, and organization and planning and all of that just helped us execute it, you know, the best way possible and give the best experience.
All right. So with all the people now facing moving because they're either, you know, buying a house or selling a house, what are some of the advantages of hiring a pro? Cause you know, you can ask your friends to come over and, you know, buy them a pizza and some beer, that kind of thing, to pay them for their time. But the older you get, the less likely you are to get, you know, your friends to come over and do that for you. Yeah. You know?
Well, and everybody's got that one buddy who's got a truck, and he usually says no when you ask.
Yeah, he's like, oh, exactly. It's in the shop, man. It's in the shop. You know, isn't that it parked right over there? No, that's somebody else's truck. Yeah. So what are the advantages then of not using your friends and calling a moving company?
Actually having a professional show up to move your furniture.
Okay. So what does a professional do that, let's say, your buddies wouldn't do other than, you know, drink all your beer?
And eat all your pizza.
And eat all your pizza, yeah.
Well, they're going to show up with a moving truck, with the appropriate help, with all the supplies needed to protect your belongings.
Okay.
You know, they do this in
the blankets and the wrap.
The blankets, and, yeah. The shrink wrap, keep things protected, keep things clean. And they're going to make sure the job gets done. They're not going to leave when the beer and pizza runs out.
I've had that happen. I've had that happen. So I know exactly what you're talking about there.
And they do it every day. So they know what they're getting themselves into. They know how to appropriately take care of your belongings.
Yeah.
They know how to secure things on the truck, how to load the truck.
That's a big one right there. Yeah. Because knowing, you know, there's certain things that a lot of people don't know. Like you don't lay a refrigerator down, for example, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. You know, that's got to stay upright. You got to strap it in so it doesn't tip over.
Correct.
And if you don't do that every day, how do you do it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean.
And just putting everything on the truck is one thing, but is it put on appropriately? Is one thing going to tip over and break something or hit something next to it? And
so is there like a particular science to figuring out kind of like the puzzle of how to load everything so you can fit the most amount of stuff in there?
It's a big game of Tetris.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You want to put your heavy, durable stuff at the bottom and like your furniture, like your desks, your dressers, things of that sort. And
then go
with your boxed items, stack them on top of that. Make sure there's no airspace for things to move around in between.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you go with your light stuff like chairs, lamps, anything that's kind of odd that doesn't really stack square.
Yeah.
And that's what you save your top level for.
Last time I moved, which was about 3-4 years ago, we started out being super organized, you know, and then by the time the actual time came to move, we were just throwing stuff in paper, in plastic bags and trash bags. I don't care. Just throw it in there. Let's go. You know? And of course it just all ended up piling into the truck and we ended up taking many, many more trips probably than if we had,
at the end you wish you would have hired.
Exactly. Yeah. That is very true. Yeah. That is very true. So do you take things apart? I mean, when it comes to furniture and stuff like that, I mean, how much disassembly do you do to make it work?
We disassemble things enough to move them through doorways.
That's it.
Yeah, basically that's it. Or to transport safely.
Okay.
If it's something that you can take apart halfway and it's going to fit through the doorway and be safe and sturdy on the truck, then that's what we'll do. If we need to disassemble it all the way, then that's what we'll do as well. And then at your new house, when we unload, we reassemble all your furniture.
Okay.
Walk you room by room, make sure that everything's appropriately put in place to your likings and make sure you don't have to move furniture after the movers leave.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's smart. That's a big deal. Putting the beds together, that's a big deal there.
Got to have a place to sleep.
So I'm guessing if I were to pick your favorite thing to move, I'm thinking it's giant boxes of books.
Giant books. that's one of them.
Yeah.
Like get the biggest box we can find.
And fill it with books. Yeah. My wife did that when we moved last time. She bought these ginormous boxes. I'm like, I'm not lifting that. We got to get smaller boxes, like photocopier boxes. That's about the right size, you know, because anything, those filled up with books are almost too heavy to pick up.
No kidding. They make a book box for a reason.
Do they? Okay, and how big is the book box?
1.5 cubic feet.
That sounds like
it's manageable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, I think of a filing cabinet box, or they call them banker's boxes.
Box. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's about that size. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, that does make sense. That's actually usually what we do when we move. We just kind of, you know, ask around and, hey, do you guys have any extra boxes at your office? And that's usually what we end up with, our banker's boxes. So.
Yeah. Those giant wardrobe boxes, you know, that are like 5 feet tall. And
is that what your wife filled with books?
No, thankfully. About half that size, but
she
still.
She just put the whole bookcase in there and said, all right, let's go.
And, you know, and friends are like, who has books anymore? What are you doing? Just throw those away. I mean, and trying to figure out what to move and what not to move is actually a big deal, especially if you're moving somebody across the country. Do you do that much?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because when I moved out here about 20 years ago, I moved it all. It cost me thousands and thousands to move it out here. And then I stuck it all in storage and then ended up getting rid of it a year later. So I kind of moved it for nothing, the vast majority of it, you know, because you know, I had a gas dryer in California and I didn't need a gas dryer here, but I moved it out here.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, sometimes it seems like it might be more cost effective to just get rid of everything and buy new stuff where you're going.
That's music to my wife's ears.
Yeah.
She would love that method.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're just moving up the street, that's one thing, but.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're big fans of using moving as an opportunity to get rid of a bunch of stuff that we don't need.
Right.
You know, and kind of go through and separate things out and do that sort of stuff. So, you know, that works out really well for us when we're trying to move, because we've actually moved quite a few times in the last few years. And every time we used movers, I'm not
gonna lie. You go.
Really? Yeah.
There you go.
I didn't know about you guys or I would have given you a call.
So what kind of stuff, what kind of special equipment do you need to do a move properly, other than the blankets and the you know, wrap and stuff?
Appropriate dollies.
Dollies, okay.
If you have a grand piano, a piano board to put it on.
Okay. What's a piano board?
Yeah.
So to move a grand piano, you will take the legs off and tip it up.
Yeah.
And that's what it sits on. So you're not scratching the
okay.
the bottom side of the piano.
Okay. Wow.
And then it's got handles attached to the board, and that's where you lift from.
Okay.
So your piano is attached to the board at that point and padded and protected, and then you're just moving it as one big crate, basically.
So we're in Nashville, though. So how do you move guitars? I mean, because that's a whole special thing, right? No?
In a hard shell case.
In a hard shell case.
That goes in the back seat of the car.
Okay, you know? Yeah. So what are some of the, other than pianos, what are some of the bigger things that you're called on to move from house to house?
I think there's still a hot tub in Kentucky Billy needs me to move.
Is it coming to your house?
It's going to his.
It's going to his house. Okay, I see how that goes.
Well, that was a free hot tub from my father-in-law that by the time we did get it here, we ended up buying a new hot tub. And that's a whole other story.
Okay. Well, here's what you do. Get a handwritten sign, put it up on the side of the road. Hot tub for sale. I just had that idea. I don't know where that came from. Listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Hino's Home Show. So you come on back. All right. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show.
I like those dance moves.
We are dancing. Oh, welcome back. We are brought to you, of course, by Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house, refinance a house, give them a shout at accuratemtg.com or also hinoshomeshow.com, and you can definitely find them there as well. We are here with the guys from Thornhill Moving Company and Furniture Outlet and Real Estate Company, and I think Wedding Chapel too, right? Tattoo parlor?
Not quite. Not yet.
We're here with Billy Thornhill, and of course, Chris Jordan also. And so let's drill down a little bit into how to research and kind of look out for red flags as far as when you're looking to hire a mover. Earlier, you mentioned making sure that they're licensed and bonded and insured and all that sort of thing. Of course, that's very important. But what else can you look for? What kind of paperwork can they provide you to show that, you know, they're on the up and up?
Yes, a bill of lading is required.
So what is a bill of lading?
It gives you an origin address and then a destination address.
Okay.
And then, it should have a summary of the contents on the...
So that way you have written proof what they've picked up and what they put in the truck?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, just in case, you know, something goes flying off the truck, they're like, no, we never had...
No, piano? What piano? I didn't see a piano. Did you see a piano?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's funny. You know, I'd actually never heard of the term a bill of lading. Where did... Any idea where that word comes from? I mean, that's just such like a random...
Like, what's a lading?
Yeah.
Bill, I get that. You
right.
Know, but yeah.
Huh.
You guys didn't know you were going to be tested on this, right?
I did not know that.
Okay. Yeah. The deer in the headlights look that we just got from these built lading. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to add to my encyclopedia. So that,
yeah. Right. Oh, man. So in terms of insurance, are interstate movers required to carry the same type of insurance as like a local mover? Is that going to be different for you?
You're going to have different authorities and different certifications.
Okay.
To move across state lines.
Okay.
And then there's certain states that you have to get certified just to enter their state alone. Insurance will be different. You'll have to have a beefed up insurance with cargo and freight and other people's possessions and different type of clauses when you get to the nationwide state to state moving.
All right.
So that's probably why it's a little more expensive when you're moving across state lines, right? Like I've only done it once, I guess, and it seemed like it was a lot more expensive than trying to move from one side of the state to another.
Yes.
Okay.
And a lot of the local companies will only have authority to move within their own state. So there'll be more people competing for your business. And then once you step up into that realm of I'm moving across state lines, then it kind of weeds out some people and you have more of a smaller pool of people you can hire to move you.
Yeah.
And that can move the price up as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, when I moved to Tennessee, I moved from Michigan to Tennessee. I'm not from Michigan. I just happen to be up there. And the company that I was moving down here to work for, they gave me a budget and they said, okay, you know, we'll pay you X amount of dollars to get you moved down here. So I was shopping around with some different moving companies, and to make the budget work, because it wasn't a whole lot of money, and I mean, I just had a one bedroom apartment, so it didn't really matter. But I ended up having a couple of guys come and move like all of the stuff into a truck that I had rented. And then I got a trailer behind the truck, put my car on it, and then drove the whole thing down here, and then hired movers down here that then moved me into my apartment. And that seemed to work out pretty good. But really part of the reason was because I couldn't find anybody who was willing to like move me back and forth in the budget that I had. So that would make sense that it's a little bit more expensive due to the insurance and all the different regulations and stuff that you have to be able to move across state lines.
Correct.
Sure. And a lot of these regulations too are on your own fleet, if you own the fleet and the truck. But a lot of times we'll like rent a truck and take it one way and fly back.
Okay.
Or something like that. Or we'll book a load through a third party, you know, like a freight broker.
Okay.
And they're licensed to travel through all of the states, and then we'll hire labor on both sides of the move. So like if you're moving from New York to LA, the same guys that load your truck in New York aren't going to ride in the truck all the way to LA and sure. unload it. So okay. if we book that load with, you know, like a dedicated carrier where only your stuff's on there and it goes from point A to point B, and we have a time that we know it's going to arrive at, you know, point B, we'll have our crew there ready to unload it. And that's a way we've been able to save some money.
Okay.
You know, yeah. for our customers.
Now, what about, someone brought this up to me, and I'm curious to ask what your opinion is, or maybe elaborate a little bit on it. But, a friend of mine just moved from Seattle actually to here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And they did, the way they explained it was called like load sharing.
Some of the bigger trucking companies, like, I think Old Dominion has something like this where, they'll put like what's called a pup truck, which is, half of a 53 foot short truck. You know, when you see them in tandem behind a
yes.
A
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like they'll drop one of those in your driveway and let you load it. And then they'll come and send it, you know, wherever you're going, and then deliver it to your driveway and you can unload it.
Okay. Okay.
Similar to the pod, which, yeah. I've got a horror story about that.
Do tell. Yeah.
I had a client that was moving from California to Nashville.
Yeah.
And they were shipping stuff in a pod. And
right.
He was an art dealer. So he had some very expensive, ooh. Like, sculpture. And then wow. this other huge painting, I think it was of Jesus, actually. And he told me that the value was about $350,000 that was in the pod.
Oh.
And he wanted to just have the pod dropped at my warehouse and then us deliver it downtown to his apartment. I said, that's fine. You can have it delivered to our warehouse, no problem. But I'm not going to open that thing until you get here and
see
what's inside there. And it was all destroyed
when
we opened the pod.
That was smart of you not to open it.
Yeah. Luckily, he was insured and, you know, had it covered.
Yeah. You know, I think the insurance is something that a lot of people overlook. You know, like if you're planning on moving stuff yourself, like we've moved offices and moved homes and stuff like that. And, you know, some of the smaller stuff, like little knickknacks in our desk, like, yeah, we'll put that in a banker's box and just throw it in the trunk. But every time that we've moved offices, we always hire a professional moving company for the insurance purposes. So a lot of the equipment we have is really expensive. Like printers, believe it or not, are really expensive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So using and hiring a professional moving company, also you as the consumer, is going to protect you from any sort of liability. Like if we were to move, you know, the printer on our own and we break it, like now we've just got to deal with that.
Well, that's something a lot of people don't realize. Most companies lease their color copier, their printer, copy machine, that the company that you're leasing it from will actually move it for you. They don't want mm-hmm. you to move it.
Right.
Because they got to repair it if it breaks. So so when it comes to moving offices, if you just call whoever it is, RJ Young or Dex or whoever it is, they'll come pick it up and move it to your new office for you so that they're not stuck with a repair bill later on.
Ah, interesting. But either way, if we're talking about doing residential stuff, if you've got an expensive piano or
television,
TVs, artwork, like you mentioned, you know, it's really important to make sure that you've got somebody who's insured. So that way, if God forbid something happens, that's going to be covered. But then also, too, if you're using professionals, you're way less likely to have problems anyway because they know what they're doing.
So just out of curiosity, since you do a lot of interstate moving, what's the percentage breakdown you think of people moving out of Tennessee and people moving into Tennessee?
I'd say we deal with more moving out because of...
Really? I'm surprised by that.
Well, just because they know we're here.
Yeah, we're located
and
here.
We're okay. Here. Yeah.
Oh, but that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense because you're here. Yeah, okay. So going back to the whole red flags thing about dealing with companies that you're checking out, if you get a bunch of estimates and one of them is like crazy low compared to all the other estimates you've gotten, what does that tell you?
It might be good to be true.
Okay.
Yeah. You might get what you pay for if, you know, the market like the guy says with one the art. Thing and there's, yeah.
So basically, if it's super cheap, then they maybe don't have the insurance. They maybe don't have the manpower.
They've underquoted it to tack on extra prices at on the back
They'll
end.
They'll get you later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So what about that? So, like, if you are, let's say you guys were going to go and give someone a quote, like, how does that process work? You know, do you go see everything beforehand, or are you doing everything over the phone? Like, what is that process like?
Both. We do over the phone. We do go and on site and give a guaranteed quote. Our thing is a price not to exceed. So
okay.
So you have a guaranteed price. And I know that.
So if somebody's giving you a quote that's, for lack of a better word, non-binding, it's not guaranteed, that's a red flag.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Because they're probably looking to jack it up later on.
Mm-hmm. And in our industry, we're supposed to give that binding price to not exceed, guaranteed price quote.
Okay.
But I know there are people out there that will, you know, give a verbal quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then not stick to it. And
yeah. Well, like, it's interesting because we're, you know, in the mortgage business that Steve and I do, that happens a lot too. People will get quoted these crazy low rates and crazy low things, knowing full well that it's going to change later on, but they're hoping that by that time it's too late to change it, you know, change lenders. And so you're kind of stuck with it at that point. So that's something that a lot of people fall prey to is they think, oh, look at these great super low rates. And the secret is that they're being charged a lot that they don't know yet. You know?
Yeah. Generally speaking, I would say that's bad for business, whether it's mortgages
Absolutely.
Or moving companies, you know, that kind of bait and switch thing is just really bad in my opinion.
Definitely.
What if they ask for a big deposit up front? Is that cool?
Now, if you're going across the country and it's a particularly expensive move and they want a deposit, I think that's acceptable.
Okay.
If it's a local move and it's going to be a one-day job and they want a deposit more than $50 or $100 just to hold your spot on their schedule, I think that draws a red
percentage
flag.
Wise, when it's a larger move, what would you say? Like 10%, 50%? What's acceptable?
We take a $100 deposit to get on the schedule.
Okay. Which is reasonable. I mean, that's not.
And it's taken off of the final price.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not like a non-refundable deposit. It's included as part of what you're going to pay anyway.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds pretty much in line with what I've experienced. So,
you know,
yeah, that makes sense.
And it also protects us on somebody hiring three different moving companies and then canceling on two of them at the last second.
Okay.
You know, why would someone do that?
Just to see if the guy that gave him the low price is going to show up.
And
then they have another mover scheduled the following day to see if the extra $1,000 is worth it or...
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like that happens a lot, unfortunately. Or at least enough so that it makes sense to take a deposit and like, hey, you're legit.
The one I've heard from customers a lot is like, I got this Groupon for two guys for 4 hours, and it was only, $200 or something.
Right.
And what those guys do is they take all 4 hours to load the truck, and then everything's on the truck. And then that was just the Groupon price for the first 2 hours. But if you want us to unload, now we're at the retail price.
Now it's going to cost you.
Yeah. And we're not going to unload it until...
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take another quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Hinos Home Show. So you stick around. All right. Welcome back to Hinos Home Show. We're talking moving this week. We got the guys from Thornhill Moving here in the studio with us. We've got, of course, Billy Thornhill and Chris Jordan. And, of course, Encyclopedia Steve is here with us as always. So, guys, if people are looking to get ready to move, let's talk about some of the things that they need to do to prepare properly so that the movers can actually do their job. what are some of the things that you can let the mover know ahead of time?
Well, we do have a full service move where we'll come and pack everything for you.
Okay.
So that's an option right out of the gates.
Okay.
And then if you prefer to pack your own stuff, we prefer that everything be in boxes.
Okay.
If we come and pack it, everything.
So no pillowcases filled with definitely forks not. And knives and things like that.
If there's a basketball, you know, it's not going to stack with other boxes. So we're going to put that into a box. The vacuum cleaner is going to go into a box. Everything is going to go into a box if we're packing.
Interesting.
Now, when you say, like, you'll do all the packing, does that mean literally you show up at my house, like, today, as if my house were still put together? Like, I haven't done anything, and you're just going to come in and move all of it?
Yes.
Wow.
We may send a packing crew a day or two ahead of time if, you know, that's how long the job would take. But there's been mornings where we'll get there, pack up the whole house, move it to another place, and put it all back together exactly the same way.
Okay.
Or to the request of, you know, the client.
What kind of special things require special treatment from you? We've already talked about the piano. Obviously, that would require special treatment. But what other kinds of things would people need to make sure they let you know about?
Well, I would say with us packing it, we know what's in the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if somebody else packs it, we don't really know what's in there. So liability on what's the content.
So making sure to label the boxes?
Correct. I think it's worth the extra money, really, to have a moving company pack for you.
Okay.
Because then they're liable for anything damaged.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
If you pack a box and something breaks in it, then it's you're liable for it.
Because you didn't wrap it properly or whatever.
Or because we don't know what's in there. We don't know how well you pack the box itself. Mm-hmm. And then, but if we pack the box, we're liable for it.
Gotcha.
Oh,
so
I
regardless
of
what
that.
Happens during transit, if the moving company does pack the box, then
okay. The
liability lays on them.
Now, do you recommend that people take pictures of all the stuff that you're about to move so that they've got a record of it before it actually gets on the truck?
We call them high claims items. So, like, your valuable stuff, you want to take pictures of.
Okay.
To make sure they end up at your new location the same way they left your old location.
Now, is that something you guys do as well?
We ask for, like, a list of those items in your house, and then we will take pictures and inventory those as well.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, on the high value items especially, but through our moving software, we've got you know, if we're in the field doing a quote, we can take pictures and document special things along the way, so that way, you know, it's in our file that we, you know, have it, and it has the condition of how it looked, and you know, if somebody says, well, you nicked this right here, and it's clearly in the picture of when we gave them the estimate.
Right.
You know, we just have some documentation there to.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if we see something that's damaged before we pack it, we want to notate that too.
Kind of like when you rent a car, they walk you around the car when you first pick it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Know, and you have to point out, like, hey, there's a dent already there.
Right.
I didn't do that.
Right. Absolutely.
So I'm guessing that, you know, if you're showing up with a bunch of moving vans, that parking can be an issue. I mean, how do you handle that for the average homeowner? Does that ever become a big problem?
It has, especially down in like metro downtown.
If you're moving into one of those condos or something?
Yeah. Well, we've been in Philadelphia and tried to get, you know, 53-foot trucks around the city.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's, you know, parallel parking everywhere. And you have to get – some cities you have to get street permits. And, you know, we've even had to close streets down.
Really?
Yes. To get the truck in and, you know,
How hard is that to do? Like, close a street down? If I just call the city and say, hey, I want to close this street down because I want to do something.
It just takes a little money, man.
Yeah, I'm guessing more than a little. Yeah. So I knew a guy years ago who was a concert pianist, and he got himself a nice apartment in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get his grand piano in was they had to rent a crane. They had to disassemble the window, and they had, because he was up on like the third floor, and they had used this crane to put the piano in through the window and then rebuild the window. And then he had to do that whole thing in reverse 5 years later when he moved out.
Wow.
That was not cheap.
No, I can imagine it's not cheap. You know, actually, I was thinking this earlier. You brought up the term high value items, right? What's considered high value? Is there a cutoff? Is it like $100 or $500? Like
$5,000 or more.
Oh, okay. So it's that high.
So do you guys actually move like pets and things, or is it strictly inanimate objects?
I have carried the dog in the front of the truck with me before.
Okay.
I think that was a one-time scenario.
Yeah. It was a one-time thing. Okay. So what about, you know, some houses have, you know, either super narrow hallways or those crazy spiral staircases. I mean, how do you deal with that? Do you just toss it over the edge and hope somebody catches it, or what what happens there?
You plan ahead, protect everything before we carry anything down the steps, you know, cover the ledges with moving blankets and any areas where we think are narrow and we could hit with furniture. Pad and protect those areas.
Okay.
We've got floor runners and, you know, door frame guards and all kinds of stuff that makes it easy.
Neoprene rug runners. It's kind of like a red carpet that we roll out on the hardwood floor.
Ooh, fancy.
It's kind of nice.
Wow, red carpet. Yeah. Now, when it comes to budget, you know, for your average, let's say, three bedroom, two bath, I mean, what are people looking at for your average move just within town, maybe on the packing side and then on the, you know, actual moving side?
I'd say your average three bedroom home is going to be $1,200 to $1,500.
Okay.
For just the moving.
Sure.
And that includes us coming in, wrapping all your wooden furniture with blankets before it leaves the house.
Okay.
You know, protecting your floors, shrink wrapping your mattresses and your upholstered items to keep those clean. That includes us loading everything, going to your new house, unloading it, putting your furniture back together and kind of making it.
I mean, you couldn't hire a bunch of people to do that separately for practically that much, and you wouldn't even have all the insurance and everything to go with that.
Correct.
So that's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, how about packing up a house?
It's pretty comparable.
Is it?
Okay. I would say about the same.
Okay.
Because you're using more material because you have to pay for the boxes.
All the
and
boxes.
The bubble wrap and the packing paper.
And the labor.
Exactly.
Okay. And then, of course, there's that benefit that you mentioned earlier where you guys pack insurance. You guys are liable, which I kind of like the sound of that because that way it's not your fault. If something breaks, sorry, honey, I broke your prized, you know, little porcelain doggy or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, you know, it's funny. We just sold a couch on like Facebook Marketplace or something like that. And so the couch was on the second story and we had to bring it down the stairs. And I mean, the whole time I was thinking like, oh my gosh, like if we damage this couch, like these people are not going to buy it anymore. And so, you know, trying to negotiate it down the stairs and like, you know, I'm holding it straight up over my head and like dealing with it. I mean, it was bananas. And I mean, obviously selling one couch, it's probably not worth getting movers, but I mean, I don't think at this point I would ever move again without movers. I'm not going to lie. You guys are lifesavers because moving itself is hard. You know, it's physically taxing, but also usually you're like buying a house or moving apartments or whatever. And if you're doing a mortgage, everybody knows that's a little bit stressful. And, you know, there's just all kinds of things going on. So the last thing you want to do is put on your gym clothes and get real sweaty for 2 days.
Right. You find out who your friends really are when you're moving, right? Because they all scatter into the wind. And you're like, hey, where'd everybody go?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of our clients already through the retail furniture store are already moving.
Okay.
You know, my real job, I guess I'm a realtor as well. So that's my client as well. So vertical integration that we have going on here, if we, you know, we hit the home run, you know, we're going to sell you the house. We're going to move all of your old stuff in. And then whatever gaps you need to fill, we can furnish those and we can deliver them on the same day that we move you.
Wow.
So think about moving and buying new furniture and waiting for rooms to go to deliver your stuff, Comcast to come in, you know, like changing your utilities over. We've got a concierge service along with our moving company as well that will streamline all of that stuff. So you call one person and that person is going to change your address. They're going to set up all your utilities. They've got backdoor access into all of the, you know, DirecTV, Comcast, AT&T, all those different packages and promotions that they run, and you're going to talk to one person through this whole thing, and they're going to set up all of that for you.
Wow.
That sounds heavenly.
Yes.
Because moving really, you know, at the end of the day, and even though it's exciting to get a new place, the actual process of moving, it just stinks.
Yeah.
Nobody likes doing it. Nobody wakes up in the morning going, gosh, I really want to move today. You know? Right. I want to pack my stuff up and put it in the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So if you let us handle all of it, you know, and we plan accordingly, we should be able to disrupt your life for a day or two versus who knows. How long?
A long time, because I'm 3 years into my house and I still have boxes in the garage that I have not unpacked. So yep. I'm not ashamed to say that.
I think that just happens to everybody, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, so how far in advance should people get in contact with you and say, hey, we're moving? You know, is it like 2 weeks before, a month before?
Moving at four. What time can you be here?
Well, we do try to accommodate any last minute things, but you know, the more time we have to plan, the more efficient, you know, we can be. We try to overstaff jobs to keep our guys from getting worn out. And, you know, that's when bad things happen, I think, towards the end of the day when people are tired. So we try to avoid that part of the day by keeping everybody fresh.
Nice. Well, we need to keep this show fresh. We're going to do that by taking one last break, and we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Hinos Home Show. So you come on back. All right, welcome back to Hinos Home Show. A lot of people are hitting the road, moving to a new house. So we're talking about moving this week. We are brought to you, by the way, by the fine folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're, you know, buying a house or refinancing a house, check them out at accuratemtg.com and they'll get you closed and back to life. We are here with the guys from Thornhill Moving and Storage. And we're talking about moving because that's something that's on a lot of people's minds right now because they're doing it. Guys, if you had customers come to you after being either duped or not done right by another company and then they come to you and you have to fix the situation?
Definitely.
All okay.
Show up to where half their furniture's still in the garage because the moving company couldn't get it to where it needed to go.
Oh. Mm. So some of it's already gone and some of it's still there?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Okay. Wow.
And they do what? They just don't come back? They're like, all right, we're done. See you later.
We can't handle the rest. This is all that'll fit on the truck. This is all that you've paid for. This is all that we're doing.
Wow.
Ooh.
So that's one of those instances where you should have done your research up front.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I'm guessing you must have in your collection of stories, probably a lot of horror stories about things that have gone wrong or some of the things that maybe customers have done wrong and made your job harder. What are some of those things that stick out in your mind?
On the customer's aspect,
yeah.
One time, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, we went in to move a family, and I moved a lady and her two children out of a house. And right around lunchtime, her husband came home.
Oh.
And had no idea that his wife and children were moving out of the house.
Oh, boy.
And that was the craziest day of moving furniture of my life.
Oh, my goodness. So he comes home to find out that, you know, his wife's leaving him, basically, and taking everything with her. And all the furniture. Oh. Can you imagine coming home to a completely empty house?
Oh.
It's like, hey, where did they go?
Yeah. So I mean, I guess hopefully you would know it's coming at that point leading up to that.
I would imagine. But what happened? I mean, what did you do at that point? Were you guys like, hey, we're going to be outside for a while?
We took like a 2-hour break. Saw some tears shed and we proceeded.
Really?
And it was so awkward because we didn't know whose side to be on. Are we on her side or are we on his side?
Yo, who paid the bill? You know?
Oh, could you imagine? She schedules the mover and puts it on his credit card.
Oh.
That's like the last nail right
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ouch. That is a horror story. Holy cow. Now, how about from, you know, dealing with other movers or things that you've heard other people do? What are some of the things that bad movers that you want to stay away from have done to clients over the years?
Bring in people that had been drinking, smelled stuff on their breath, you know, lazy, paying by the hour and having four guys there really not accomplishing much, like taking cigarette breaks every 15 minutes.
So you bring up a good point. Paying by the hour, is that a red flag? Because this seems like there might be incentive for them to take extra long because they want to get paid more.
It can be a red flag. I think if you're on, if you have a large home, then looking at an hourly rate is going to be really vague. It's going to kind of be blurry on how much you're going to pay at the end, how long it's really going to take.
Yeah.
If you've got a one-bedroom apartment, I think an hourly rate is something that you really shouldn't deter you away from using a company. But as you get to the bigger projects, then that, you know, creates a lot of questions.
It's like $52,000, what?
We've actually brought in some new software that's tried to – you know, with an effort to become consistent across the board.
Yeah.
How we quote our jobs. So,
well, I love geeky stuff. So what does the software do exactly?
So with the software, it's actually linked with Zillow. And so when we put in the original address and the destination address, it already knows the square footage of the house. It knows the number of bedrooms. It can show you a picture of what the house looks like. You can also see kind of the distance from the front door to the truck of where it has to go.
Okay. Does it show if there's any steps or a grade or anything like that?
It does. And then it kind of asks you these questions along the way as we input things in. So like if there's a basement or if there's an attic or just a second and third floor of a home, you know, they take all the stairs into consideration. And then there's a couple different ways that you can quote the inventory of the home as well. There's like a really general one that's pretty easy to do, and say like a normal bedroom with like a bed, two nightstands, a dresser, and a mirror is 100% bedroom, right? Well, we can slide this to 200% if they've got that room like a storage unit and it's packed floor to ceiling.
Okay.
Or we can drag it down to 50% if they use it as an office or it's empty, you know, something like that.
It's just got a treadmill in it or something. Yeah.
Correct. Or we can go individual items all the way through the whole house and say there's one couch, there's one love seat, there's a coffee table, two end tables, and then there's like standard sizes that are already in the system that'll kind of cube out the truck. So it'll tell you what size truck you're going to need, you know, what size crew you're going to need, how long it's probably going to take them if they're efficient with their time.
Okay.
So that way we can really get close to what the hourly rate should be. And that's why we set that do not exceed price, so that if our guys, you know, get done faster and we can save you some money, we'll do that. But we're not going to penalize you if our guys aren't moving as fast today as they were, you know, a day before. But,
wow.
You know,
that's fascinating.
That is really interesting. I mean, that's, you know, because I was imagining that quoting for someone, and maybe this is how it's been done in the past, I guess, until technology like this came out, is I feel like you would just show up at someone's house and say, okay, there's this many rooms and it's going to take me X amount of hours and this amount of guys, and here you go. This is your number.
There was a time. That's how it was.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool, that technology. I mean, and I think knowing that you use a technology like that is really cool as a consumer, because I can go, okay, well, I know that, you know, you've got a metric for all this stuff and you're not just, you know, throwing out a random number and, you know, might be a lot, might be a little, but there's actually a process involved in how you do that.
Absolutely. And it's consistent and fair with everybody across the board.
So. That's awesome. I love that. So you mentioned earlier that you guys have storage options. So if people are moving and then maybe their new house isn't ready yet, is that what you guys do? Do you store it for them?
Perfect example.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, if somebody's moving to town and their house isn't quite ready yet, we can hold it for them until that time. Or if we move them out and they're going into an apartment for a couple months and they just need us to hold their stuff while the house is being built, that's common.
Is that kind of handled on like one of those pod type situations where it's a container that then gets offloaded at your facility? Or do you guys actually unload the truck into your facility and then reload it when it's time to move it to the house?
We have storage vaults within the warehouse that will protect all of the product. And then we can stack those two or three high with a forklift.
Oh.
And then those vaults are all inventoried. We keep everything padded as if it's on the truck in the vault. But that protects it in the warehouse. It's a hard shell around it. So, you know, nothing's going to bump it. Nothing's going to disturb it. It's not even going to get dusty.
Okay.
And then,
is that the majority of the things that you store? Is it people in transit that is just taking a little longer?
That, and then we've got a lot of clients that are like interior decorators. And,
okay.
They have a lot of their own accounts, or they'll get custom furniture.
Like home stagers, that kind of thing?
That kind of stuff. Or just, you know, a designer that's doing a penthouse downtown or something, and you know, it might take 6 months for all the stuff to trickle in for the project before they even come. And
trying to deliver every little item that comes in, they just have it all go to your place.
Correct.
And do make one delivery at the end.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see that being, you know, oh, here's another handkerchief. Here's another curtain. Driving across town all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I could see also too, like, you know, if you ever watch HGTV or TLC or whatever, a lot of these home design shows, they're like, oh yeah, I was at this place and I saw this really cool item and so I bought it, but they didn't necessarily have like a place in mind. They were just like, oh, this is a really cool item. And so once you actually find a client who that fits their taste in the project,
then you use it.
Then you can use it. Yeah. So they may just acquire things to hold on to and then, you know, use it at a later date. And then you, that's something you guys would hold on to. So it sounds like it's not like a regular like storage facility where I can just show up and, you know, unlock the key and go in and get what I need, right? It's a little bit different than that.
Not exactly, yeah. So it's not going to have, like, 24-hour access like you would at a self-storage facility. We're completely white glove, full service. Ideally, we're going to deliver the stuff that's in storage to you.
Okay.
But if you do get in a situation where, oh, I need this Dutch oven to make this casserole or whatever you do with that. You know, you can contact us and we'll have it inventoried. We know where it is. It just might take some time and labor.
Sure.
And, you know, there might be a fee involved to get it pulled and
yeah. worry.
But we can do that. It's just not self-storage like
right yeah. right yeah. Now okay. How about on the furniture side of things, are you still have a furniture store that people can shop at?
We do. We have a retail furniture store. We carry lots of the major brands mm-hmm. and vendors out there. And
where's it at?
It's in Laverne, off of Bridgestone Parkway, 1299 Bridgestone Parkway.
Okay.
And we've got a 37,000 square foot warehouse and showroom. And we keep a lot of stuff in stock so that we can deliver same day or next day. You know, with it being attached to a moving company, you know, we're the same client both,
yeah.
both ways. Yeah. And if we could get furniture right now.
Oh, is that a problem? Great.
But yeah, the increase in raw materials and stuff
has oh, yeah.
been crazy. I think I had a rep tell me yesterday that a truckload of lumber increased $13,000 on the wow. raw materials.
Wow.
So price yeah. increases across the board. You know, thankfully it's industry wide, so it's not just us. You know, we're just adapting to the times.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Well, yeah, I've got a friend actually who just redid his fence and he didn't buy enough pickets. Mm. And so now he's got a fence with no gates because they just can't get any wood.
Yeah. Right? So. I had the same thing. I got a little bit of work left to do on my deck at home and I haven't been able to get the wood for it. Every time I go look, they're sold out. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll wait.
Yeah. Wow.
I guess we'll be waiting, you know? Yeah. So how can people find you online if they wanted to check you out?
Well, the easiest is thornhillcompany.com, and okay. that'll kind of link you to all of the different entities that we have.
All right. Well, Billy Thornhill of Thornhill Moving and Storage and Chris Jordan, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, we've just enjoyed you guys listening to us this week. You can find us at heinoshomeshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. And so have a great week. We'll see you next week on Heino's Home Show.
Accurate Mortgage Group, a division of Acopia LLC, is an equal housing lender, NMLS 4664, and a Moeller, NMLS 1666140.